I'm Dr. Trevor Cates. Welcome to the Spa Doctor podcast. On today's podcast, we're talking about how to really tap into your intuition. Intuition is one of those things that really helps us with our wisdom on a different level. It's not just about our experiences in life, but how we can be wise on a different level to help us make better decisions in life and to be more emotionally balanced. So I thought it was an important topic to talk about. So I invited my guest on today, Dr. Joy Martina. She is a psychic psychologist specializing in rapid change coaching. She's also a best-selling author, the creator of a training program to develop mastery over your innate psychic ability. She's also a master hypnotist and trainer of trainers and coaches. Her unconventional approach towards coaching and her success rates are based on her ability to combine a wide range of modalities and her skill of connecting to the unconscious parts of the brain. She is able to tap into her client's subconscious and higher mind to reveal the original cause of the issue that her client is struggling with. Joy is able to do this not only with her one-on-one clients, but also with large groups in countries around the world, where she takes them through powerful and fun processes with cycles of mental and emotional clearing that give incredible yet tangible results. So on today's podcast, we cover what intuition really is, what gets in our way of doing it, and five ways to strengthen our intuition. So please enjoy this interview with Joy. Joy, it's so great to have you on my podcast today.
I am so happy to be here with you.
Excellent. So we're talking about how to tap into our intuition. I love this topic because it's something that I've been exploring more and more since about 5 years ago, I did a master's degree in spiritual psychology because I felt like there was something I was missing in my practice with patients. And so I did that program. And ever since then, I've been trying to pay more attention to my intuition. So I think it's important for us to talk about it on the podcast so that everyone can really figure out ways to strengthen their intuition. We all have it. It's not like, you know, right? But how do you feel about that? Does everybody, maybe I should ask you, do you think everybody has their intuition?
Yeah, I love that question. And absolutely, yes. Everybody not only has intuition, but it's a major and fundamental function in psychology. So I'm sure you're acquainted with the Myers-Briggs Personality Index. A lot of corporate companies use that when they're hiring new people to kind of find out who someone is. So how does someone perceive the world? How do they function in that world? Because that really pays, you know, is an important thing to know when you're hiring, right? And even there, and this is actually a very old and tried and tested personality index, even there, it's a whole function being intuitive. So it's, according to Forbes magazine, the highest form of intelligence. So intuition, I feel, has got such a bad rap over the last decades because we often put intuition kind of in the box of the woo-woo and the airy-fairy people who are just running around with incense and, you know, just meditating the world away, right? And that, I feel, is just not, A, not true, and B, we're taking away a huge part of wisdom that we all have. And if we were just trained in how to use it better, I feel we could all benefit from it. And when you look at statistics, then they're at the moment pretty sad. So if you, I don't know whether you've heard of the Harris Poll Happiness Index, and it's kind of a report and a research group that has an index of how happy the Americans, for instance, are. And in 2017 was the first year where the Americans were less happy than before, which means that only 33% of all Americans define themselves as happy, which is sad, right? And for me, intuition and happiness go together. We cannot feel true happiness. You know, that happiness that comes from inside when we're not tuned in who we are. And intuition is all that it actually is that you're tuned into who you really are, that kind of greater part of you, that higher self, that whatever label you want to give it.
Right. And I love this idea that you're saying that it's really part of our wisdom. And so if you think of intuition as an aspect of your wisdom, it's not just your experience in life and your level of education, but intuition adds to that layer of wisdom, right?
Yeah, it's as you say, the highest form, actually, because you see, when we go back to the Myers-Briggs personality test, we have two ways of gathering information. We can either sense it, and then we're really limited to our five senses. So that, if we look at the brain structure, goes back to, as you're saying, it's just experience. But, you know, we've all had different experiences, and not all our experiences are A, great, B, did we always make the right choices? So if we just go upon our five senses, we have a very limited form of data we're collecting. And on the other hand, if we use the intuitive part of ourselves, we have a much, much wider range of being able to gather information and see the bigger picture. And I think that right now in these times that we're living in is so crucial. If we all just bog down into the little problems that we're all facing right now, we kind of feel usually depressed, usually disconnected, and we'll do anything to distract ourselves from pain. When we get the bigger picture, it's much easier to stay calm. It's easier to really tap into, yeah, that higher wisdom. So, yeah, I think it's so important right now to be talking about this.
Absolutely. And it, like you said, too, a sense of happiness as well as a sense of knowing and calmness and a lot of different things can come from that. So let's talk about the different ways that we can strengthen our intuition. What have you found to be the most helpful?
Well, I've divided it into five steps that I think are the ones that they're not necessarily consequential, but they often are. And these five steps, I feel, are things that we can do every single day. So it's nothing that we, I don't know, have to have studied a PhD for. It's nothing that we need to go on the top of a mountain for. But they're as simple as step number one is to step out of the buzz and tune into yourself. So when I say step out of the buzz, I mean that if we look at how much data our brains are being bombarded with right now, we have multiplied that amount. So just 25 years ago, the amount of data that our brains were being bombarded with were 2 million bits per second. Okay, so remember 2 million bits. Now, 25 years later, they are being bombarded with 11 million bits. Can you imagine that that makes the even calmest brain, you know, have to decide on what am I going to let in and what can I not deal with? So we have that. And now, so we're talking millions of bits, but our conscious mind can only focus on 126 bits per second. So you have 126 bits is what we can cope with, and you have 11 million bits coming in. So if we don't learn how to step out of that buzz, we can very, very quickly feel overwhelmed, depressed, disconnected, all the things that we're hearing in all these happiness polls and all the studies that are being done of how people are feeling right now. So when I say tune into yourself, it's often as simple as just taking a time out and doing something as simple as sitting in silence for 5 minutes. You know, put a timer, shut your eyes, and just allow yourself to just be with you, with your thoughts, with your breath, and take space for yourself. I think that's one huge thing we can do. And those 5 minutes, nobody can tell me they don't have those 5 minutes, because if we're not taking 5 minutes for ourselves, we're on a very, very slippery slope, I believe. The other thing is, I'd like to teach you a tool. Do you want to know a really cool tool how you can switch state?
Yeah,
cool. I love teaching this also to kids because it's so simple and it's so powerful. And all you need are your two hands. So before I explain the tool to you, I just want to share why we do this. And it goes back to, you know, whatever thoughts you think, that's the reality you're creating for yourself, right? So we all know days when we wake up in the morning, maybe, and we're feeling tired or grumpy or whatever, and then we stub our toe, and then, I don't know, the coffee machine's broken, and then the car won't start, and it kind of, do you know those sort of days? Right.
Yes.
So, and if we go back, even in our memory banks, and are honest to ourselves, usually the thoughts we were thinking while this cascade of awfulness was happening were pretty awful too, right? So the quickest way of stepping out of the buzz is to become aware of what you're thinking and where your thoughts are taking you to. So even if you don't have 5 minutes to go and sit in silence, you can do this to switch your state into a more positive state, to, you know, bring energy into your body again and balance stress. And it comes from karate. So you do this sort of karate chop with your hands. And what you're doing while you're doing this is you're actually syncing your left and your right brain hemisphere, because you are making those two hemispheres talk to each other again from kinesiology, and you're working on all acupressure points at the same time that are on the side of your hand and in the palm of your hands. And what that does is by syncing your brain and taking a few breaths, you're de-stressing the whole body. And if you want to make it even stronger, then you can use an auditory channel, which means that you say something to yourself and you're literally programming your brain. Because here's the cool thing, your conscious mind can only focus on very little, right? So it's pretty maxed out at doing this. And you'll notice when you do this with older people, they sometimes have trouble just doing this, right? So it's a great coordination thing. And now, let's imagine we're having one of those days and we're feeling whatever we're feeling. We can say to ourselves, I love and accept myself. Say it out loud. It feels so good. I love and accept myself. And when you say these things, thank you. You know, our body and our cells are listening. So that already will create a difference. And now you're going to say something magical. You're going to just accept what is. So you say, I love and accept myself, even if I feel bad right now.
I love and accept myself, even if I feel bad right now.
You could just think of something that makes you feel bad. And now you're going to say, and I love and accept myself when I choose to feel really good right now. And you know, and you can stop tapping. Do you feel the energy, the warmth in your body? So when we accept what is and at the same time say, I now choose for that, we're redirecting our focus and attention on what we actually want. And we've broken a state, which in neurolinguistic programming and all those coaching programs we know is really important to switch a habit. Because you see, negative thoughts can really just be a habit that we just haven't learned to shift. And if we just do this every time we notice those negative train of thoughts, then we're training our brain to focus on the good, focus on the positive, focus on what we want. And that literally helps speed up manifestation too. So it's a fun thing to do.
Oh, that's great. Okay, awesome.
So that was step one. The other ones I'll keep short so you just know what it is. And if you want to know more, we can always dive deeper. The second step I feel that is really important, especially for us girls, women, is to learn to say no gracefully. So I think there's so much conditioning and programming still in us that sometimes we can believe that we've got to please everybody else before we're allowed to look after ourselves. Then we're often so worried and scared of judgment of others, or that we'll be rejected or abandoned or just not loved if we say what we really want to say. So really what I love teaching my clients, but also the students in our workshops, is, you know, there are ways of doing it gracefully. And it takes some, it's more about thinking new. It's more about realizing that, you know, when I take care of myself and I make sure that my vessel is full, that I am radiant and bubbling over with love and joy, I will always share that. We always, as humans, share our joy. But if I'm not looking after myself and I'm feeling miserable and I'm not taking time for myself and I'm getting really stressed out, what do I have to share? I'm only going to share my frustrations. I'm going to share maybe the resentment that I have. And the only one who can fix it is me. So it sounds so easy. And I know many may say, yeah, well, you might find that easy. But I can tell you, I found it a really hard lesson to learn until I got the changing factor for me was to realize I'm not being authentic if I'm just trying to please everyone else. That's not real love, is it? Because if I do something when I'm really coming from love and I'm really coming from, I want to do this now for you, it feels way better for the other person too, right? Isn't it true that sometimes we'll notice if someone's just doing it to get something, whether it's recognition or whatever? It just, we know, and that's our intuitive power. We know when it's not real. So why don't we all just become a little more real? So that's step two. Then step three is also one that I learned with a lot of experience, and that is called forgive and release joyfully. So I noticed that it's fascinating how hard we can find it to let go of old grudges or to let go of old pain or you know, stories where we were seemingly unjustly treated and all that. And the change for me came twofold. One was when I realized that it's not letting go, it's releasing. Because just when you say let go for yourself, I always feel that we want to immediately hold on to something. No, I'm not going to let it go, right? Because who knows, maybe nothing will come back. When I say I release something, then I'm the one in charge. And sometimes it's as simple as that to create a mind shift and realize that, you know, all the maybe anger, resentment, grudges, feeling of unfairness that we harbor, we're literally harboring in our bodies. You know, epigenetics and science is moving in quantum jumps, right? They can prove it. It's stress in the body. It weighs you down. It creates toxicity. You see it in skin, right? We see the effects everywhere. And sometimes it's really as simple as saying, you know what, I'm going to release this now. I'm going to choose new, and whatever was in the past is going to stay there, and I take the lessons and I'm moving on.
Yeah, I mean, because I think so much of that block from our intuition comes from holding those grudges. And it's amazing what forgiveness can do. I think it's really a beautiful tool.
It is, and you're so right, and thank you for pointing that out. It really, it's impossible to be 100% connected to intuition if you've got this huge block of grudge and resentment. Because if we look at resentment and grudge and this idea that we have to forgive someone, the only person we haven't really forgiven is ourselves, because we believe we made a mistake. Like we think, oh, I made a mistake of trusting that guy, or I made a mistake in choosing for that. But if we just realize there are no real mistakes, it was just an interesting way of learning, maybe, right? Then it becomes way easier to just release it and say, right, let's bring more of what I actually want into my life. So thank you for saying that. Yeah, so then we have step four. And that is one of my favorite steps, because it's when we start being able to actually create that life that we usually dream about, but sometimes think we're not worthy of having, and all that interesting stuff. And that is to own your desire. So in step four, we really get clear on what is it that I want. Sometimes we focus so much on what I don't have and what I don't want that we can forget, hey, there's a whole world out here waiting for you to say, this is what I want, and I know I'm worthy of it, and I know I can do that. So it's having what I call for myself unshakable faith. And I even created a brain training for that that I would love to give to all our listeners if they'd like, to help everyone. You know, it's about 20 minutes, and you can have it running in the background while you're doing something that doesn't require attention. You could put your earbuds in and take 20 minutes of a power nap. You could sleep with it. And what I created is, it's kind of a pep talk for your brain to A, relax, to know that everything's going to be okay, that you have everything you need to not only accomplish your goal, but to overcome any obstacle. So that's the gift I have for everyone, because I feel when we have that unshakable faith, we'll A, step up more, and I feel that's what we all need to do right now. And we'll own our desires, and we'll stand up for them too. We'll we'll go for them. And then we can get into that final step, which is the one I feel very passionate about teaching in my Oracle training. And that is to tap into the universe. So once we've tapped into our own intuition, into, I call it our highest selves, we've kind of opened up the channel to tap into the universal wisdom. So if we look at all great inventions that were ever made, they were all actually invented in a moment of intuitive insight. Whether it's the rubber tires we now have on our cars, which actually happened because Goodyear left a pot of rubber on the stove and it by mistake got hot, or if it's Edison with his light bulbs, there's so many stories that prove when we're able to really tap into that wisdom of the universe, great inventions come through.
Yeah, it's amazing what is out there for us to tap into. And so it's interesting, this idea of intuition as your higher self versus something bigger than yourself. I'm interested in that, because is there a separation of that, or is it the same? I'm not sure that many people talk about that.
No, and I don't think there'll be one conclusive answer. So I can only give you my theory, and I am not claiming that is right. So for me, how my brain organizes this universe, which is infinite. So we're trying to explain something with a very limited part of our brain, our conscious mind. So with this conscious mind, the words that I would use is that we all have a higher self that is exclusively there to guide us, this soul that has chosen to reincarnate in this timeline doing this stuff, to guide them, us, to our highest mission, so that we have maximum learning on this planet, because that's what we came for. I believe we come to learn how to love, to learn how to serve, to learn how to make this life a masterpiece. And we have a higher self that is guiding us on that path. Now, the higher self will never step in and do something really drastic unless we've gone off path too much, that we're either risking our life or we're risking our mission. Then we have, like, I see that all the highest selves are, they're on one level. So it's, if we take it on frequencies, it's one level of frequency in this unlimited universe. So all our highest selves are connected. But down here, we're usually most strongly connected to our ego self. And sometimes I've forgotten that we have a highest self, because the highest selves always want the good for the entire constellation. So the highest self is always coming from love. And yes, they're all connected. And it's beautiful when we start realizing that we can, on also on a human level, not only connect on an ego level, but we can actually see, oh, we have two highest selves. Why don't we let them discuss the conflict that we're maybe facing? I've seen magical things happen when we do that.
Interesting. So I know sometimes people have asked, how do you know when you're listening to your intuition? Because sometimes we have these thoughts that are really our intuition, and sometimes they're thoughts that maybe not for our highest good.
Absolutely.
So how do we know the difference?
Yeah, it's exactly that discernment that takes practice. Because the highest self or the intuition is not this 3D boom buster voice. That voice will only, in my experience, come through in a moment of absolute danger. Or when, you know, these are the stories when people say, I just knew, there was no shadow of doubt that I would not get on that plane, and then the plane crashed, or I don't know, all these prevented disasters that we hear. That is the highest self kind of shouting at you. But the highest self doesn't shout at us at a daily level, because the whole point of it is that we're so in tune. Actually, that would be our natural state, that we just know. But the thing is, if we go back to those 11 million bits bombarding us, when we don't take the time, or we don't train our kids, ourselves, to listen to the subtle voice, it'll just be very subtle, and it'll be overwhelmed by all the other voices. So I think the secret really is taking time, space, and silence to tune in. So when we do that, we learn to hear the difference between the voices. A rule of thumb, I would say, unless you're in life danger, any voice that's coming from fear, that's coming from the idea of lack, there's not enough to go around for everyone, that someone could take something away from you, it's usually coming from the ego, from the smallest part of your brain, so from the reptilian brain. When it's thoughts that are more surprising, that are coming from love, that are coming from the idea that there's a higher good and there's a higher intention behind everything that's happening, that's usually always the highest self. So I think it's learning the difference between those two main voices. Because that the fear voices are a conglomerate of programming, stuff we heard from our parents, our past experiences, but they usually have a kind of negative vibe to them. Maybe that's the easiest distinction.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think that definitely I can usually sense that more negative vibe of, that's my ego talking here. And something a little bit more personal to kind of, to put this into perspective for people and to, you know, give an example of how you might use these to strengthen your intuition is my father passed away about a month ago. And I noticed right after he passed that I had a harder time tapping into my intuition. And then I felt like a lot of the voices that are, you know, or the things that I was getting were more my ego. And one of the things that I thought of that maybe was happening is that when you go through a really stressful time, like losing a parent, is an example of a very stressful time. This is why I'm sharing this, because everybody goes through a very stressful time, whether you've lost a parent or something else. Maybe it's a divorce or something, or an illness or something. Sometimes it can separate you from that intuition, and the ego really kicks in because you're more in this like fight or flight survival mode of that reptilian brain.
Yeah, and you see, the link is the emotions, because emotions are actually just energy in motion in our body. It's just energy moving through us, but it's the labels and the interpretation of those feelings that create the suffering. So when you pinch yourself, you have a moment of pain, the body deals with it, it's done, right? But when we feel emotional pain, we're usually not that trained in finding ways to release it. So we'll hold on to it and we'll feel, for instance, that sadness, maybe sometimes for a prolonged period of time that wouldn't be necessary because it's not serving anybody, right? So that's where this switch, as I call it, this switching your state, saying, I recognize what's going on. I'm not going to suppress the sadness. I'm not going to pretend now that my dad has passed, I'm going to be all cheerful and happy. That would not be authentic, right? But by telling yourself and your body, and especially out loud, it's okay. I love and accept myself even when I feel really sad right now. And breathe. And I love and accept myself when I now choose to feel joy. So when we do that, we are taking command. We're taking control of our mind. So I always say, if you don't take control of your mind, others will. So every time you notice you're going into a dark cloud, take yourself out of it. See what's going on. And our mind and that intuition is so smart. We know where the stuff comes from if we were just to take the time to tune in.
Yeah. And what do you think? Thank you. And what do you think about taking some time to have some acceptance around like what's at hand and having some time to grieve, or, you know, if you're in pain, to just like feel kind of the suffering instead of just going straight into, we can't just go straight into joy.
No. And I think, you know, what I've learned from being there for others in their grieving processes and my own grieving process is it is a process. It's a process that goes through very distinct phases that are, again, they're not consequential. They're not sequential. They'll mix. There'll be phases of anger, phases of sadness, phases of trying to bargain. There are certain elements that we see in psychology that keep coming back. What I'm saying is that our unconscious mind, our soul, our highest self, does not need to suffer to go through learning experiences. We often choose to suffer for longer than is necessary. So, you know, I do crazy things like channelings and connecting to dead people and to, I don't know, spirits all over the place. And what I learned from people who passed on is their biggest suffering is to see their loved ones suffer. Because you see, for them, they're home. Wherever that is, whatever label you want to give it, they are connected back to source. They feel nothing but love. They don't have these human emotions that we have. So for them, they're always there serving us. They're there happy to help us. And when we, if we want connection with them, we can have it. And it can be a beautiful collaboration between the spiritual world and the 3D world. It doesn't have to be separate.
Yep. Well, I appreciate all of that. And I completely agree. I think that there is, there is that time where we can feel those things, and then there's a certain amount of it. It's like, okay, now we can move past that. And I think it is a part of the journey. Yep.
I'd like to give you one really cool technique for you and for anybody else who's in a grieving process. I learned this in neurolinguistic programming. The fun thing is that our unconscious mind needs time to grieve. Yes, absolutely. But did you know that we can instruct our unconscious mind to grieve in a time that is better for us? So you can actually instruct your unconscious mind to grieve during the night while you're sleeping, to allow you and your unconscious mind to go through all the processes in your dreams. And then it doesn't have to feel heavy throughout the day. Will there still be some moments of sadness when you miss someone? Of course. But the grieving goes much quicker. So if I were to ask you, How long does your unconscious mind need to grieve? What's the number that comes up?
I don't know how to answer that. I don't know that it needs any amount of time.
Okay, if you were to know, what number would come up?
I really don't know how to answer that.
You can answer it for yourself. You have a number in your head and go with that one. It can be a day, it can be an hour, it can be 6 weeks. I've heard all answers. The thing is, and I love that you always say, I don't know, because that usually happens when I even mention to people, your unconscious mind knows. We say, no, it doesn't. Mine doesn't. No. But our unconscious mind always does. It's just that we don't trust it. So once you trust the answer that you get, you can take just 5 minutes, you know, do it in a meditation or in some quiet space, and you say, okay, dear unconscious mind, I instruct you now to take these days that your unconscious mind has told you to grieve during the night while I have a healthy, restful, rejuvenating sleep, and then see what happens and then tell me. I bet you'll have quite some experiences that will show you how powerful your mind is and how powerful you are over your mind. So try it out, and I hope it helps you as much as it has all those who've tried it out.
I'd love to try that out. I'll definitely try that out. I tend to sleep really well. I can't say I've been sleeping really well. So I like that idea of both working on something and getting a very restful sleep. So I love that idea, setting that intention.
Good. And remember to say a restful, deep, rejuvenating sleep. Be very specific with your unconscious mind, okay?
And that brings up a really interesting point about being specific, because I noticed that I'm pretty good at manifesting. And sometimes I'm actually nervous to manifest, because if I am too specific or not specific enough, or anything that you want to say, because I think this is part of that idea of releasing too. Like, you maybe have a goal or an idea of how you want things to go, but also releasing it, right?
Yeah. So I think what I'm hearing you say is that idea that, you know, when we really want something, then we can be, yes, we should be, we have to be super specific in, this is exactly what I want, and really put everything in there. Because as you say, I've had those experiences too, where I wasn't specific enough and I thought, oh, should have been, right? So once you've got that specific goal, the technique, it would take too long to describe it right now, but basically what you do is you create a picture for yourself, an image. You imagine that you're like in this movie theater of your mind, and you see what you want super specifically. And then comes a moment that I think you're referring to, is that you have to release it. You release it because that means that you have that unshakable faith. It's going to happen. You send it out, and why would the universe not give it to you? You see, the only ones blocking ourselves from that abundance is ourselves. Because, oh no, I can't have that. Oh no, I can't do this. So when we stop doing that, and we release it with that unshakable faith, yeah, stuff happens very quickly.
I love that. And definitely, I think that that there's the power in that, and the setting the intention and releasing it. I mean, amazing things can happen, especially if you do the things that you're talking about to strengthen your intuition. So you're not coming from a place of the ego, but you're coming from a place connecting with your higher self. And when you set those intentions coming from that place, then you're really doing things that you're here to do, right?
Yeah, and the vibrations are just higher. You can now measure these things. When we're stuck in a vibration of guilt and shame and sadness and stuff, we're just kind of down here. And when we make that jump into feeling joyful and confident, we're up here. And, you know, higher vibrations, like attracts like. It's just more fun up here.
Absolutely. Absolutely agree with that. I like being up here.
Let's go. Fly up there.
And I just have one last question to ask you. Your name is Joy, and you talk a lot about joy. Is this your given name, or did you choose this name?
Love the question. I think I must have chosen it before I came. The official, and this is what I was told as a child, and it's a fun story, is that when my parents were trying to have children, they were not succeeding at first. And then they went to the doctor and they were told that they would not be able to have kids because my dad's sperm count, I think, was not good enough or something like that. So the first page of my baby photo album is the doctor's letter saying, "Sorry guys, it's just not going to happen. You know, look into adoption and things like that." And then I don't know how many weeks, months later, there I was. The twinkle in my dad's eye. And yeah, so when I was born, I was given the name Joy. I was actually, I was baptized, I think you say, or christened, I don't know. But anyway, I was given the name Nicola Joy. And I went by Nicola for the first, oh, 2 decades of my life, or 3 decades even. And then when I met Roy, my husband now, I just knew it was time for radical life change. And that would be another podcast. That's a whole wild story. Anyway, at that moment, I decided I'm done with Nicola and I want to go by Joy. One of the reasons was that Nicola was always mispronounced. It was always shortened to Nikki, which I never liked. So I was kind of, it was part of no new life. I'm going to own the name. And it does have a big personal thing for me too, because I struggled with depression for years. So I often felt it was like this cruel joke of the universe to give me the name Joy, but to feel so sad inside. And that's why I just love what I'm doing now, is because I found that joy and I can help others find it too. And a huge part of it really is tapping into your intuition and seeing it as the amazing source as it is.
Well, Joy, thank you so much for coming on the podcast today and for your interview. Tell people how they can find you.
Yes, loved it. Well, thank you for having me, number one. Number two, the best website is either joymatina.com, that's simple, or crystalline.com, spelt Christ, all in. And no, we're not a religion, we're not a cult. It's just the energy, the consciousness that I channel is called crystalline. And the reason behind that is, or the mission behind it is, to bring more compassion, kindness, and forgiveness onto this planet, which is what Christ was actually all about. So crystalline, Christ all in, or joymatina.com, or on Facebook, join the Joy Tribe. That's a fun place to be.
I love that, the Joy Tribe. That's so great. All right. Thanks again, Joy, for coming on. I appreciate your information.
Thank you, Trevor. Much love. Bye-bye.
I hope you enjoyed this interview today with Dr. Joy Martina and got some tips on how to strengthen your own intuition and why it's even important in the first place. So to find out more about Joy, you can go to thespadoctor.com, go to the podcast page with their interview, and you'll find all the information and links there. And while you're there on the website, I invite you to join the Spa Doctor community. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so you don't miss any of our upcoming shows. Also, if you haven't done so already, I highly recommend you go to theskinquiz.com to get your customized skin evaluation and report. It just takes a few minutes, it's free, and you'll get great information about what your skin might be telling you about your health and what you can do about it. Just go to theskinquiz.com. Also, I invite you to join me on social media, on Facebook, Pinterest, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, and join the conversation there. And I'll see you next time on the Spa Doctor podcast.